Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. If you would like to learn more about the ways we are church together, check out your bulletin. There are announcements and calendars of events of how we are church together through worship and mission, fellowship, and learning opportunities. Also, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder standing at the communion table following worship this morning. And two announcements I have. One is to welcome a guest organist that we will have with us for the next few weeks as we continue our organist search. John Kubinek sitting in the back. Thank you, John. We're glad that you are with us. And, of course, he's sitting next to Chris Oman, who has done a fabulous job also filling in for many weeks as we continue our search. And a welcome back. I'm not used to having all these people so close to me in these first pews. Welcome back to the Senior High Mission Work Project. They arrived home last night, I hear, after sitting in traffic for many hours, coming back from New York City. And to say a little bit more about that, Dave Fish. Where'd you go, Dave Fish? Dave Fish, a few words.
So, excuse me, in the next hour you're going to hear great things from the youth of this church, but the one thing that you'll probably not hear is from the adults, because they are humble and they have done great things this week also, and they won't give themselves credit, but they need to be acknowledged and given credit. So stand if you are over 21 years old and you went on this work project. You can do better. Louder. Give them a cheer. These folks prepared before the work project started. They sweated with us. They were displaced at times. So when you see them after church, give them a hug and tell them you did great things.
Yes, many hugs for feeding them, keeping them safe, bringing them home again. We are grateful. So, you have a treat today as the Senior High Mission Work Projects leads us in worship. So, friends, let us praise God together.
Thank you. Please stand as able for the call to worship. You asked for our hands that you could use them for your purpose. You ask for our face to see, to hear, to smell, to taste the pain of poverty.
Sometimes we turn away because it is too painful.
Creator God, forgive us and renew us and send us so that we may be your committed advocates for peace and justice in the world.
God always loves us and forgives us. Let us confess our sins together. Let us pray. Powerful and wondrous God, we are very aware of the hungry and displaced people of our community and the world. Many times we have not lived up to the teachings of your Son. Leave them to face an uncertain life. Forgive us and lead us so we may move your people out of bondage. O God, hear our silent prayers of confession.
Amen. Be aware that our transgressions are forgiven through the grace of Jesus Christ. Move yourself to the comfort of the Holy Spirit.
All right, if we could have all of our children come forward for the children's sermon.
Hi, guys. So who here know where we all went?
No one?
Where'd we go?
New York.
Yeah, we did. And we helped a lot of people. There were a lot of people in New York City, like maybe some of these guys.
So here we have 5 pictures of randomly selected people from the internet. And we're gonna see who of these people can't afford enough food.
So, who do you think it is? Is it him? Or him? Which one do you think cannot afford food? Or can most definitely afford food? Also known as Robert Downey Jr. The elderly man? Anybody else?
Before we move on. What makes you think he can't afford food? You think he's older? Yeah, you're right.
All right. Well, truth is, you actually can't tell if any of these people can or cannot afford food. You're right, because someone is older, it may be hard for them to actually get food while they're in the city, because jobs are very hard to find there.
When we were in New York City, we saw lots of people like these. We saw people with glasses, older people, well-dressed people, people with cool beards, and a lot of them couldn't afford their own food, so we helped them out.
Who here doesn't like to be hungry? Yeah, pretty much everybody. But some people in New York City go days and days without food for a long time.
In actuality, 2/5 of New Yorkers can't actually afford to feed themselves because it is just so expensive to live there. A bottle of water would be $1.79, when in other places you can get it for maybe, like, 50 cents less than that. But when we're here, how do we get food? Do your parents buy you food? Yeah? Do you go to Wegmans? No, there's not a Wegmans there. We looked.
So what people that have problems feeding themselves can do to get some food is they can go to places called soup kitchens, where they can go and be served a meal maybe a couple of times a week, or depends on how often they operate. And then they can also go to soup kitchens, which is kind of different. They don't have the meal prepared for them. The workers there give them like a little baggie of food that they can take home to cook themselves. And that's where we worked this week. We worked at different soup kitchens and pantries to help people feed themselves.
All right, well, like a lot of us have already acknowledged, we don't like being hungry. So we actually have a little snack for y'all. It's right in that little box. Yay. Yes. Probably don't get this off.
We brought you guys jungle crackers.
So if you guys were living in the city and had to go to food pantries just to figure out where you get your next meal, how do you think that'd make you feel? You don't know. I know I probably would be a little nervous. I wouldn't know where I'd get my next meal.
So that about wraps it up. You guys can go back to your parents now.
The first reading of the word is from 2 Corinthians. But we have this treasure in clay pots so that the awesome power belongs to God and doesn't come from us. We are experiencing all kinds of trouble, but we aren't crushed. We are confused, but we aren't depressed. We are harassed, but we aren't abandoned. We are knocked down, but we are not knocked out. We always carry Jesus' death around in our bodies so that Jesus' life can also be seen in our bodies. We who are alive are always being handed over to death for Jesus' sake, so that Jesus' life can also be seen in our bodies that are dying. So death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. We have the same faithful spirit as what is written in Scripture. I had faith, and so I spoke. We also have faith, and so we also speak. We do this because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus. And he will bring us into his presence along with you. All these things are for your benefit. As grace increases to benefit more and more people, it will cause gratitude to increase, which results in God's glory.
Second reading of the word is from Matthew. Then the king will say to the people on his right, "Come, my Father has given you his blessing. Receive the kingdom God has prepared for you since the world was made. I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was alone and away from home, and you invited me into your house. I was without clothes, and you gave me something to wear. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the good people will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and give you food, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you alone and away from home and invite you into our house? When did we see you without clothes and give you something to wear? When did we see you sick or in prison and care for you?" The king will answer, "I tell you the truth. If anything you did for even the least of my people here, you also did for me."
So a week ago, as you might have figured it out by now, a group of young people and adults, 38 in total, went to New York City to work with the homeless and displaced and hungry people of New York City. The Holy Spirit moved us all week. It moved in and through us in our work. It moved in and through us in our devotional time. You're going to hear from some young people today, and you're going to hear how the Holy Spirit moved them. And so, let that move you.
Hello, I'm Matthew Thornton. This summer, me and my brother have been on two other weekly adventures with Boy Scouts, and this was our third week of being away from home. It was such stark contrast between those 2 weeks and this week, because I found out that it was really the difference between it was about us. Other weeks, it was focused on us having a good time, and this one was focused on us helping other people, doing things in the service of God. The underlying theme was us doing work for other people. We did many different tasks in New York City, and we met lots of different people. Some of them were very interesting. And it was different than what you would see in the movies of NYC, the busy streets, the landmarks. But right around the corner is someone waiting in line to go into a soup kitchen, or waiting to go into a food pantry, or to get their clothing so they can go to a job interview and start making money and get back on their feet. You're waiting in line to go into a soup kitchen takes courage. Walking in there and not being able to flash a credit card at the end of your meal is very difficult. You have to go into the right place. If you go into the wrong one, you're going to have a hard time. These people, in my opinion, are the face of Christ. We saw them everywhere. You can tell, but they were there. They were the ones who were having a hard time getting back on their feet. These people were the face of Christ because we were able to help them. When we help God's children, we are helping Him. We are serving Him. We helped these people through their time of hardship. And we assisted them in the service of our Lord. And I would like to take this last opportunity to thank you guys. You're the people who got us to our journey to help other people. You can tell from the sign out front, or for have prayers for our youth in New York City. You obviously care, and for that, I thank you. I also thank our advisors, who, while we were there, made sure we didn't screw up at anything. Or too badly, anyway. So, thank all of you.
Hello, my name is Danny Smythe. I've recently attended the GPC Senior High Work Project in New York City. The experience was remarkable, to say the least, and the values that I have learned will stay with me for my entire life. It taught me about love, service, humility, and most important, in my opinion, it gave me perspective. We live in one of the most prosperous and affluent nations in the world, where the majority of citizens can live good and meaningful lives. However, even in America, there's poverty and deprivation. As of 2012, 16% of the total population lives below the poverty line, while in 2008 it was only 13.2%. Many middle-class families are struggling to maintain their comfortable lifestyles and are just a paycheck away from financial collapse. Before the trip, I believed that poverty was the result of poor life decisions, such as drug use or alcoholism. But now I know that poverty can affect anyone at any time. The death of the breadwinner, natural disasters, or medical emergencies can cause a family to slip into the depths of impoverishment. Many of the families we served talked about the days before they ended up on the streets, about how good their lives were. It showed me all the things I have in my life and all the opportunities that are laid out in front of us. I would like to thank the advisors for organizing this amazing experience. The things I have learned have taught me to give back to those who suffer around me. They have taught me to be an active part of my community. The things we have done and the friends I have made this among the best experiences in my life. Thank you.
Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Katie Oman, and I'd like to start off my little speech here by saying thank you for the amazing support shown by both the advisors and the congregation. This week was overall an incredible experience for me. It was my first time in NYC, so naturally, me being the person that I am, I had a sort of checklist of things I wanted to do or see while I was there. Statue of Liberty, check. Times Square, check. Learning to use the subway? Check. Uncomfortable eye contact on the subway? Check. Use the 15-plus flights of stairs each day as a leg workout? Check. Our Wednesday for Team OMCO, as our team was affectionately called, consisted of equipping ourselves with gloves and flashlights and working in a dark, scary basement, sorting documents for an organization that helps homeless families. The highlight of our day was finding lots of food with some less than welcome guests along with it, which brings me to my next item on the list. See a rat. Check. I'll admit, the first one startled me. But in my opinion, a scream or two is justified when you're unprepared and unarmed like that. And truth be told, the second one scared me too. Certainly not my bravest moment, but the rest of the day we finished without any more rodent problems. Next on the list, learn to cross the street New York style. Check. This one took a little trial and error, though. Did I go too soon? Too early? Do I dash through the flashing light? Is that guy inching through really gonna stop? Eventually, I got the hang of it, although at one point, I must admit, it took the help of a Spider-Man impersonator in Times Square to safely cross. However, my most important accomplishment was being able to say that I was able to help and connect with the people that the organization served. Prior to the trip, I had a preconceived idea of the people I would be working for. These prejudices were shattered as I realized that these people were quite similar to me. Many were gracious and polite as they came through the line, just like I would try to be in their position. On Monday, as I served people their allotted bread, I made a point of saying, "Here you go, sir," or "Here you go, ma'am." One man was so pleased to be called sir that he stopped and beamed at me before moving down the line, which got me thinking, why is it that these people should be so surprised to be referred to with respect? Why does financial instability affect how they are viewed as human beings? On Thursday, the people we worked alongside insisted that we be seated and served in the same manner as their other visitors were served. This was the moment that really changed my whole perspective. We had talked in our group about how the people may feel when they go to soup kitchens. We decided that they might feel uncomfortable and embarrassed about their situation. But when I was being served on Thursday, I felt that way too. Honestly, I felt sheepish that they felt the need to serve me. This made it easy to understand how difficult it must be for people to admit that they need help and that they aren't able to support themselves and their families. I saw many faces this week, and all these faces, regardless of financial status or the choices that they make, are the faces of Christ and his people. In God's eyes and in my own, these people are no less worthy of our love and no less worthy of our compassion.
Hi. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Laura Keeling, and it was my fourth and final work project, so it was an exciting one to go out to New York City this year. So the theme for this week was the face of Christ. So to start off, I'd like to give you guys a couple of statistics. New York City is home to approximately 8,405,837 people, according to the 2013 Census Bureau. It has also been recorded that nearly 47 million tourists from the U.S. and other countries visit the city each year. Now throw in those not accounted for, such as the people there on business, the homeless, and people like us there on mission. That's a whole lot of faces. So when I was asked to find the face of the Lord in such a substantial place, needless to say, I was a bit overwhelmed. How was I supposed to find his face when everyone on the streets and in the subways are looking at their phones, reading, or just trying not to make eye contact? But then I realized that God does not have just one face, and I began to see him everywhere. I saw the face of Christ this week before I even left Gates. Mothers, fathers, cousins, siblings, friends, and more gathered in the parking lot to wish us safe travels and a fulfilling trip. The face of the Lord was in the workers of the New York City Church, who led us to the sixth and final floor immediately after welcoming us off to the bus. I saw the face of the Lord in the volunteers and the various food pantries and soup kitchens and their thankfulness to have GPC helping them. The face of Christ was in my peers, willingly wanting to work, serve God, and be very flexible with having to live between the four floors with many stairs. I also found that the face of Christ was in myself, taking on leadership roles such as planning the talent show and speaking to the group on behalf of my living space team was something I was inclined to do because of God. Finally, and probably most importantly, I saw the face of God in my advisors. Their energy, passion, and extreme patience with us was fueled from God. He gave them the ability to lead us in learning how to better serve God, to teach us how to have confidence in ourselves, and for me personally, God powered my advisors when teaching me how to read a subway map. The work project this year was rewarding, eye-opening, fun, and interesting. I'm glad my last work project went so well, and I know God was with us every step of the way.
Hello, everyone. My name is Alex. I'm also a senior, and this is my last work project. This year's work project was vastly different from all the other ones I've ever participated in. Rather than a focus on finishing a product and helping one or two lives, the effort was to help hundreds of lives just stay alive, varying from women, children, people of all races, and people that look like you and me. I witnessed extreme poverty and had my eyes open to the truth about homelessness. For some, homelessness is a birthright. Many of the people I met this week have lived in New York City their whole life, never having seen sites such as the Statue of Liberty, and definitely never having left the city. The inspiring and revered skyline that you and I know so well becomes the bars of their own personal cell, and a few blocks of Manhattan is all some people will ever see in their entire life. I used to think that homeless people were there because of poor decisions, or alcoholism, or too lazy to get a job, or whatever reason, but now I understand that some of them just can't escape and start a new life. Some of these people will never own a car, and some of these people can't even afford the $2.50 subway ride out of the city. Other faces in need took a form on I could more relate to. One of the individuals I met was a construction worker, lost everything on the September 11th attack. He has never been able to recover financially, and a month ago he finally ran out of money and was forced to live on the street. He goes to work every day and retires to a not-so-cozy concrete sidewalk for the night. Homelessness also affects children. 4 days ago, while in what is considered the poorest neighborhood in Brooklyn, I met a young boy named King. He lived in a homeless shelter with his family, and at 4 years old, he decided that his life was so unbearable, he was willing to ask Keisha to take him home to be his new mother. A complete stranger was better than his current life. Face of Christ takes many forms. Everyone I saw in New York City had a story. You couldn't tell which two-fifths of them were hungry. You definitely couldn't tell that the well-dressed woman coming home from work was on her way home, or perhaps was settling down for the night instead in an alleyway. Not judging a book by its cover here was crucial, because every single person was different, and you had no idea
if they had a bed to sleep in or a meal to look forward to. I would like to thank our great group of advisors for providing such a great and meaningful project for us, and I'd also like to thank everyone in this congregation for allowing this opportunity for myself and the other youth.
Amen.
I invite you to share your prayers of joy, your prayers of concern. If you would like to share those out loud, please raise your hand so that an usher can bring a microphone over. And remember just to hold it close to your mouth so we can hear you. Tammy didn't know she was going to have to put running shoes on this morning.
Hi, Cheryl Battaglia. I just wanted to say thank you for all the calls, the prayers, and the visits while I was in the hospital. It really meant a lot and helped me get better faster. Thank you.
Anne-Marie Sim, I'd like to introduce to you Roger Best, who is here for the first time, and I'd like you all to give him a warm welcome.
Prayers of welcome. Thank you.
We heard the youth thank the congregation and the advisors and everything, but I want to say two things. First of all, thank you to the youth who are really working hard down there in New York. And I also wanted to say to the parents and the grandparents, because we know how important grandparents are, right, of these children. This work group was probably one of the best ones, if not the best one, that I've ever been on, and I've been on several over the many years. But all week long, they all got along, upperclassmen, freshmen, no drama this week, no meltdowns. You've raised a bunch of wonderful young people, and you should be proud of it because you've done a good job.
Amen.
Janice Bilalovic, I have a joy. Next week, our son and his family, or part of his family at least, are coming to visit. to help us celebrate George's 70th birthday on Friday.
Oh, happy birthday, George.
Dr. Roshan, first I'd like to say thanks to my congregation family for all your support, your kind words, your hugs, your cards on the passing of my dad. I really, really felt your love, and I thank you all so much. I also want to say to the church, congratulations to Julie, who just passed her RN exam.
Yay! Congratulations, Julie. And continued prayers this weekend for the families of Fred Buff, whose life we celebrated yesterday, and Arlene Tandies, who we will celebrate today at 1 o'clock. So continued prayers for all their families. Let us continue our time of prayer. God, in whose image we are fearfully and wonderfully made, we know this to be true, and yet we look around at our neighborhoods and the world to see that so many of us are sick. Some of us face uncertainty. Some of us are marginalized or oppressed. Some of us are hungry or without a home. Some of us fear for our lives because bearing your image means being hated for our skin color, our gender, our sexual orientation, or the language we speak or the faith we do or don't practice. Confident nothing separates us from your love, we are profoundly grateful for your grace and care that patiently teaches us to love one another. The joy we share is a reflection of your presence in our lives. God, we give thanks this morning for the Senior High Mission Work Project team, for the youth, adults, advisors who sought to hear your voice and see your face with all whom they served in New York City. May they serve as an inspiration to us that we might further be called to practice your kingdom values in our everyday lives. Holy God, this morning we hold in prayer the people of Iraq, devastated by this week's bombings. We pray for those further affected by religious intolerance and hatred. God, we ask that you strengthen the efforts of peacemakers everywhere, whether among citizens who live next door to each other in our own communities or leaders of nations negotiating ceasefires. God, even though we don't always know the words to pray to give expression to our deepest fears, hurts, or longings, we have the prayer that Jesus taught us. So hear us now as we join our voices as one, praying for the coming of your kingdom using the words of your Son, our Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us continue our time of worship as we offer back to God a portion of our blessings in thanksgiving this morning.
He shares a room outside with a dozen other guys, and the only roof he knows is that sometimes starry sky. A tattered sleeping bag on a concrete slab is his bed, and it's too cold to talk tonight, so I just sit with him instead and think, how did I find myself in a better place? Look down on the frown on the other guy's face. When I stoop down, more looking square in the eye, I get a funny feeling I just might be dealing gray prison yard. Somehow his heart is soft, but keeping simple faith is hard. He lays his Bible open on the table next to me, and as I hear his humble prayer, I feel his longing to be free someday. How did I find myself in a better place? I can't look down on the frown on the other guy's face. Cause when I stoop down low, choice which day you would be born, or the color of your skin, or what planet you'd be on. Would your mind be strong? Would your eyes be blue or brown? Whether daddy would be rich, or if mama stuck around at all. So if you find yourself in a better place, you can't look down on the frown of the other guy's face. You gotta stoop down low, look him square in the eye, and get a funny feeling. You just might be dealing. Oh, how did I find myself in a better place? I can't look down on the frown of the other guy's face. Cause when I stoop down low, look him square in the eye,
God, we offer these gifts in gratitude to the bountiful blessings you have shared with each of us. We pray that you continue to show us your ways to do your work in service to others and be joyful givers.
Thank you.
To the community of Gates Presbyterian Church, you have heard great things. Believe through the Holy Spirit in the words of these young people that they can inspire you to do great things also. So leave this space today, go into your world, and be the face of Christ. Amen.